Well, you know, we've been speaking along this line of healing, and you know, we've been sharing some principles. I know this past Sunday, we were sharing some thoughts about this subject of sin and disease, and we were just sharing along the lines that, you know, when Adam fell and he committed treason or he disobeyed God, that sin entered and mankind, sin was passed down through the lineage of mankind. And God, from that point where Adam missed it, he put into motion a plan to redeem mankind. And so, you know, at that point, the authority that man, that Adam had or man had was given by God. He said, you know, you are to reign over that which I've made. And so Adam lost that right, lost that authority to Satan. And that's why we have 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says the God of this world. And so Satan is referred to as the God of this world. He has authority to operate in this earth. But Jesus, when he came, he stripped him of that authority. And those that believe him and have received him, we've been what, as the scripture says in Colossians, we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and that we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And so this is our heritage, our lineage, our covenant right, that we've been delivered from Satan and his evil works. And so when it comes to healing, well, let's start this evening in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, a familiar verse in the King James. It says, in whom we have, well, that means what do we have? We have redemption. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So we've been redeemed. Those that have accepted Jesus into our hearts, this isn't about what I feel or what the five physical senses tell me. My body has not been redeemed yet, but my spirit has been redeemed. And so what does that mean? That means that there is no evidence. You know, when we talk about in this earth, you know, evidence, it's evidence to the five physical senses. But there's no evidence in my spirit of sin. I have his eternal life now residing in me. God is residing in me. His eternal life is residing in me. And that has an impact or an effect on what? It begins to affect how I think. It begins to affect this physical body, because in Romans, I believe it's chapter 8 and verse 10 or 11, it says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It says that if we have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it says if he dwells in us, then he does what? He quickens this mortal body. He gives life to it. So this is the effect or the impact of redemption, of eternal life in my spirit. Well, you know, a lot of times, you know, people talk about, well, you know, if I'm healed and the scripture says I'm healed, then why all these symptoms in my body? Well, first of all, Satan has a right, he has a legal right to do things in this earth, but he doesn't have a right to do it to me. So I have authority given to me by God and actually expressed through Jesus before he was ascended into heaven. He said that these signs, Mark 16, verse 17, he said, these signs shall follow the believing ones, the believers, those that believe. He said, in my name, in the name of Jesus, they shall do what? Cast out devils. That means I have authority. What? In the name. So I've been given the authority and the right. It's been conferred upon me. Just like someone who has authority in this earth, I always use the example of somebody who's a policeman or somebody who's in the, you know, in that line of work. They've been given authority by the local authorities to enforce the laws that are had been passed and on the books. So, yeah, people may do bad things, but they're there to do what? Enforce the laws. Well, those are natural laws. But the spiritual laws, my covenant right, I'm given the name of Jesus to enforce or to, you could just say enforce the spiritual covenant that I have with God, that he stripped Satan of his authority. We've been what? Delivered from the power of darkness. So I'm not under his dominion or his control or his rule anymore. Well, he may try some things in your life, but you have authority in the name of Jesus to cast out devils. And so, and it also in that verse, in verse 18 of Matthew 16, it says, and if we lay hands upon the sick, they shall do what? They shall recover. And so let's just walk down and look at a few scripture verses. You know, Jesus came in 2 Corinthians 5 in the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So God made Christ sin with our sins, so that what? We would be made the righteousness of God through Christ or in Christ. So we've been made right with God from a spiritual standpoint. And also God made Christ sick with our diseases and our sicknesses. So that what? So that we could be made perfectly well through Christ. So God, from the covenant standpoint, he sees us well. He doesn't see us sick. Why? Because he laid all of the sickness of mankind, he laid that upon Christ. And when Christ went to hell, I went with him. What? How did I go? My sick sin, my sicknesses went with him. And when it was paid for, and he was raised from the dead, who was raised from the dead? We were. So let's look at 1 Peter 2:24 in the New Living. When it says God made Christ sick with our diseases, that statement, 1 Peter 2:24, in the New Living, it says, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead from sin and live for what is right. And then it continues, by his wounds, you are healed. So from the scripture standpoint, God had inspired Peter to write this. And so this says here, by his wounds, ye are healed. God sees us healed. And so what does that mean? We are healed. And let's look at Isaiah 53:4-5 in the King James. So healing is ours now. It's now. This is faith. Faith believes. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. so Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And those words actually in the Hebrew is sicknesses and diseases. So he bore our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, what? Stricken of God, smitten, or it says stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. So who put this on Jesus? God did. He put our sins and our sicknesses and the penalties that were against man, he put all of that. He made Christ sin for us. And verse 5, it continues, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So God put our diseases on Christ. He bore them. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted with our diseases. God actually put our sickness on Christ. That's what the scripture says. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Not his sin, not his sickness, but ours. So he actually, God actually put our sin and our sicknesses upon Christ and made him sick with our diseases. This means the pains and afflictions that you are suffering were laid on Jesus. Jesus actually bore them just as he bore our sins. So Satan has no right to put on you what God has paid for or what God put on Jesus. Say that again. Satan has no right to put on you what God put on Jesus. So this is, you know, in other words, it's personal. I can personally say and confidently say, he delivered me out of the authority of darkness. This is my confession. He has personally delivered me out of the authority of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his Son, in whom I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of my sins. I am forgiven and healed. We are free from sickness and disease. We have been set free. Oh, that is good news. And the scripture bears this out in John 8:36. This is the New Living in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36. It says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. So your profession of faith is, I've been set free. I've been set free from sin. It has no dominion over me. I've been set free from sickness and disease, and I rejoice. I walk in that, not based on what I may be feeling or experiencing, but I have been set free. Glory to God. If he has set us free from sin, then sin has no dominion over us. If he has set us free from disease, then it cannot lord itself over us. In other words, it does not have dominion over you. You've been set free from sin and sickness. Because what did the scripture say? So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. So if he set us free from Satan, then Satan has no dominion over us. if he has set us free from circumstances, then circumstances cannot lord over us. It cannot lord itself over us. I am set free. And in the name of Jesus, I can use that name against circumstances, against temptation, against sickness and disease, in Jesus' name. So in God's sight, we've been set free. According to God's word, we are free. And the scripture in Galatians 5:1, in the King James, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And so sin and or sickness is bondage. And it says, "Be not ye entangled again with that yoke of bondage." So when things try to enter our life and try to do things in our life, it says, "Stand therefore fast in the liberty wherewith you've been set free." I am free. And so there may be things that tempt us. There may be things that come on us, circumstances, sickness. I am to do what? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith he has set me free. And so what am I to do? Again, remember, this is the New Living Translation, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, chapter 6, verse 19 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. My body is therefore God's dwelling place." We are the overseer living in it. So we are to see to it that Satan does not trespass on God's property. My body has been bought by Christ, by God. And so this body has been redeemed. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, yes, this body has not taken on incorruption. That happens when we get caught up together with those that have fallen asleep. If Jesus doesn't tarry and he comes, we'll be caught up. Those that are alive and those that have died will be caught up. And this, it says, this mortal shall do what? Put on immortality. So, but in the meantime, we can use the name of Jesus. And this body has been bought and is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it says, "Therefore glorify God in this body." So, you know, sickness and disease is not glorifying God. And so I'm not saying that we're purposely doing that or allowing it, but we're reminding ourselves that we've been given the name of Jesus to enforce or to come against Satan, who's the author of sickness and disease. And just a reminder, Acts 10:38, let's look at that. It says in the King James, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." So who he healed all who were what? Oppressed of the devil. So we can see sickness and disease is an oppression that comes from Satan. And so we are to do what? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. So as we continue here, there's no disease that has come upon man that the name of Jesus cannot destroy. There's no sickness that has come upon us. So our confession of faith is our faith speaking. Just as we were sharing, I believe, Sunday or the week before, the name of Jesus and Jesus are one. When we speak that name, it's as if he were speaking it here personally. It says, just as your name and you are one. So we are to confess. What are we confessing? We're to confess that by his stripes I have been healed, and that disease has lost its dominion over me, and it can no longer stay in my body. It has no lordship over me. Its power has been broken in the name of Jesus. When we speak words of faith, we are speaking God's language. We're speaking his word. We cannot talk sickness and disease and walk in health. You can't talk about the problem and expect your faith to work. You short-circuit it. When we talk about our troubles and sickness, we short-circuit our faith. Faith is the substance. This is Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So yeah, you may see something going on in your body, but what is our covenant right? What are we to be speaking? Stand therefore in fast, in the liberty where Christ has made us free. We are to profess our faith. And that is what our confession is, our faith speaking. So John chapter 6 and verse 47 in the King James, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath. And then it says everlasting life. But we could say he that believeth hath healing. He that believeth on me regarding healing, you have healing. So believing on him is what? Faith is being confident of something we don't see. So when we don't see something, when we don't see it, we are to do what? Draw upon and look back at the promises of redemption, our covenant right. How do we draw those into this natural realm? It's by faith. It's by speaking in faith, in confidence of something I expect to see, but I don't see it yet. But I know I have it, because faith begins where the will of God is known. And here Jesus is saying that God, and the scripture in Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, and we'll go back and look at that, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. So he took our sin, he took our sicknesses. This is the will of God. And so when he went to hell, as we said, I went with him. And so now it's when we go back here, it says, he that believeth on me hath. It is the believer who does what? Possesses. I believe that I've been healed. Then what? If I believe I've been healed, then what's my next response? It's I rejoice in what? Something I possess. I possess that by faith. And what's my response? I now rejoice. I thank you, Lord. I enjoy my possession. Health is my possession. Success is my possession. So I'm not moaning and groaning and complaining. I am praising and doing what? Rejoicing. Rejoicing in that I've received by faith something that God has promised me. Hallelujah. And so Proverbs 17 and verse 22, Proverbs 17 and verse 22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And so what are we to do? We are to rejoice and be glad. Now I'm gonna take a moment here. I'm gonna endeavor to find this real quickly here as we're sharing. It was something that I read. Well, I'll just give you the highlights of it. It was something that Brother Hagin shared in Health Food, I believe, or Faith Food. He said that he had something came upon him. The way he wrote it, he said, death fastened its grip upon me. And he said, immediately he began to laugh. He began to laugh at the symptom. He began to laugh at that symptom of death. Now, a lot of us, sometimes we read right over that and we go, oh, okay, wow. He started to laugh at death. No, he said death had gripped his body. And he had died before, so he knew what it was. And he said he began to just laugh. He said it just bubbled up out of his spirit, and he began to laugh at the symptoms. And he said what ended up happening is, he said, the devil spoke to him and said, what are you laughing at? He said, I'm laughing at you because I'm healed. And he said, you have to leave. And he said, I'm just condensing, he said, and he did, and all the symptoms left. So it's knowing what we've possessed in Christ, it's knowing who we are in Christ, and it's knowing that I've been redeemed, I am healed, and Satan has no dominion or power over us. And what ends up happening is, a lot of times, all of us have been there, that thoughts come in your mind when a symptom comes in your body. Oh my God, what am I going to do? It's no different than when Peter got out of the boat. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. And then it says he began to see the wind and the waves. And what happens? Fear came in. And so, and it said he began to sink. And it said Jesus immediately grabbed him and they got into the boat. And so we can see in our own personal lives that those are things that sometimes happen, but we need to, the more we meditate on the Word of God, the more we stir ourselves up, and the more we rejoice daily, not every once in a while, not just when we have symptoms, not just, here and there, but it's every day I remind myself, I water the word that's in my spirit with my confession of faith, and I thank God that I'm healed. I thank God that I'm set free. I thank God that I've been delivered from the power of darkness. So that when symptoms come, you begin to thank God that you are healed. Now, we so often say, does that mean that you don't go to the doctor and get help? If you need to get help, then you go do that. But there are individuals that just say, you know what? Thank God, I know who I am in Christ. I'm going to stand against that. And that's their confession, and that's where they are. But we need to grow in faith And I always say this, that what will you do if you don't stand against the little things that come in your life, whether it be a cold, whether it be the flu, whatever it is, and you don't stand against that and you don't fight against that, it may not be life-threatening, but what happens in your life when something happens that may be life-threatening, that's not the time to start working your faith. We need to be working it every single day. We're working it. You know, it's food. It's watering our spirit, our confession. And we, as 2 Corinthians 5:7, a very familiar verse in the King James, and then let's read it in the New Living. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And the New Living, I like this, it says, "For we live by believing," "and not by seeing." So in other words, I'm going to live by the things that I believe, not my physical senses or what I see, taste, touch, feel. So I'm not walking by my senses. I'm walking by what I believe. And I confidently speak that. And we need to do it every day. We need to confidently speak what we believe. Psalm 107, verse 20 in the King James, it says, "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." He sent his word to me and healed me, and he delivered me from my destructions. That's why I say it all the time. I refuse to say I'm sick. I refuse to say I'm weak. I refuse to talk sickness. I refuse to talk weakness. If I feel I need to get some rest, I don't confess I'm tired. I just say I need some rest. I'm going to go lay down. Because you keep speaking like that, and you keep talking, "I don't feel good, I'm sick," you will begin to create a climate by your own confession. You open the doors to things that are not covenant. And the covenant word is what will change things, not our, confession of things that we see and feel. We need to confess what's promised. And those things in this natural realm, most times, if it's in faith, it's things we don't see yet. That's faith. So his victory, as we were sharing on Sunday, Jesus' victory is my victory. He did nothing for himself. It was all for us. And we are more than conquerors through him. Don't talk sickness. It has been defeated and paid for. Talk health. Talk wealth. Talk wholeness. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And let's just conclude. We know this, but let's look at the New Living Translation, Galatians 3:13 and 14. Galatians 3:13 and 14 in the New Living, it says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who was hung on a tree.' Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we can say, in Christ, I conquered Satan. I stripped him of his authority. Why? Because when Jesus put Satan to naught, and stripped him of his authority. It was you in Christ who did that work. Christ acted in our stead or our behalf. He did it for us. So we then can say, in Christ, I conquered Satan. I stripped him of his authority. And when Jesus arose from the dead, I arose from with him. And that's when the scripture says, I've been what? Removed or translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So we've been delivered, as the scripture said, we've been delivered from Satan, from his authority, from his power. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into his kingdom, into his kingdom of his dear son. And now I have privileges and I have the authority to use the name of Jesus. And it says, at that name, every knee shall bow. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth. So we have that name, and it says if I use that name, I can cast out devils. So let's go forward in this new year, or right now. Begin to talk health. Begin to talk wealth. Begin to say, I'm delivered. And don't go a day without it. You know, for me, no matter how busy I get, I'll talk at some time during the day. I'm talking, I thank you, Father, that I'm healed. I thank you that my body is strong. I thank you that it functions normally. I thank you that every good seed that I've sown into the kingdom of God is working, it's producing. I thank you that wealth comes to me. I thank you that healing is mine. Talk that way. Begin to say that you have the wisdom of God. You have the mind of Christ. That means every choice, every decision that you make will be directed by him. Glory to God. And so a lot of times, as we were sharing on Sunday, even if you go and you need to go to the doctor, you better be asking God, is this the right doctor? And even if it's somebody you go to on a regular basis, you begin to ask, is this the right counsel that they're giving me? Is this the right choice that they're giving me to make? You need to know that, so that when you make choices to do things, where your body's concerned, remember, it's God's property. And I have the assignment to oversee it. So even if I'm getting some counsel from people, doctors, lawyers, anybody, accountants, I need to know that God inspired them or gave them that wisdom to give me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I trust that helped you a little bit. Feed upon it, and it'll bless your heart. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this short time that we have together to just meditate and feed upon the Word of God. Thank you that it is nourishment for our spirits. Thank you, Father, for us taking hold of the Word and not just being a hearer of it, but a doer of it. And we thank you, Father, that we keep the switch of faith turned on in our mouth. And we thank you that the impact that it's having in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before we leave, we always extend the opportunity for those to receive Christ as their Savior, because we don't know who's watching or who will watch. And there may be someone that watches that has never asked Jesus into their heart to embrace Christ as their Savior and enter into a relationship with him, a covenant relationship. And so if you've never done that, this is your opportunity. The scripture says that we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. And when we believe that in our heart and confess it with our mouths, that we will be saved. And so let's, if you're watching or will watch and you're watching this this stream, let's say this simple confession of faith, believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth that Christ Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him from the dead. Father, I thank you, and I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come to express or to confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Redeemer. He's my Redeemer and the Redeemer of mankind. And I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And so, Father, I thank you and believe that now and confess that. I believe that my spirit is changed. It's cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and I receive Jesus into my heart and life. I thank you that I've received eternal life now and that I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you said that simple prayer, then just reach out to us and send us an email to the link on the screen, redeeminglovecc.org, or you can mail us at the address on the screen, or you can call us 845-623-9300, and we'll send you some free information as to who you have become in Christ. Praise God.